A day of hellos and goodbyes today on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Hello to a new business year. Stock market got off to a big start, got a little tired as the day went along. Hello to a new reality for North Dakota crime, that coming from State Attorney General Drew Wrigley. And goodbye to a few city commission panels that are now on the chopping block thanks to the mayor. And goodbye to our afternoon time slot. Good afternoon, my friend. Good to be with you here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. And I'm going to have to learn to say good morning, my friend, starting on Monday, because we are moving our show to 9 a.m. on Monday. Addison, have you got the alarm clock all set up and ready to go?
Alarm clock? Like singular? No, oh, I got nine alarms set for Monday.
Have a couple of dogs coming to wake you up and asking the neighbors to bang the pots and pans, something like that.
I've got four on my Google Home and another five on my phone ready to go, just in case.
It'll be a little bit of a different show. Still putting the finishing touches on it, but the same general storylines and the same general vibe here of the Steve Hallstrom Show coming to you in the morning starting on Monday. It is a little bit bittersweet. There have been a number of days when I have looked out the door or looked out the window at this time of day. And not so much in the wintertime, but in the summertime when you look out the window and, you know, it's 5 o'clock or 4:30 and people are walking their dogs. It's a beautiful day and you're thinking, you know, I could get outside and enjoy a little bit of afternoon and finish up my work after supper. Haven't been able to do that for the last couple, 3 years. I guess we'll be able to do that going forward. I just hope I'm able to get enough motivation to keep everything rolling because could be easy on those days, but we'll be in a little earlier in the day, and that's not a bad thing. I hope that you had a great New Year's Day holiday. It was fairly nondescript for the Hallstroms, but a good day of rest and relaxation. Watched some really good football games. They started off kind of boring, and then, holy smokes, did they get interesting last night. That was an amazing game between Ole Miss and Georgia. I had picked Georgia in that game, and I was wrong on that one. I was not the only one. Most people thought that Georgia would win that game by a good touchdown or so. But Ole Miss, they are playing with a chip on their shoulder, and you do not want to underestimate a team that is playing with some purpose, and they certainly are. A few more games today, but the big ones were yesterday. Hope you had a great New Year's Day holiday and enjoyed some good friends, family, relaxation. And I could get used to this, Addison. You get a day off on New Year's Day. You come back to work one day, and then you get a two-day weekend. I could get into this.
I like the rhythm of it, for sure.
I'm with you on
that.
Big
fan.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of rhythm, hope you'll be able to join us 9 to 11 weekdays starting next week on Monday. And in the afternoon, you'll have the Jay Thomas Show from 2 to 5. Here on WZFG, the flag, in addition to WDAY. And then at 5 o'clock, it will be the Mark Levin Show, going back to the time where I guess Mark aired at that time for several years until we started doing this show. We bumped him back 1 hour. Well, we're going to move him forward 1 hour, so the Mark Levin Show at 5 o'clock starting on Monday. So should be a really good change. I'm excited about it. I know it's been a disappointment for all of us to lose some really good shows that we have gotten used to in the afternoons. But I read another study over the weekend about trends in communications and media, and the entire industry is trying to figure out how we get more local voices on our media networks. And we're not the only ones that are doing this. So going to be a beginning of a new era. I'm excited about that on Monday. All right, let's get to it here with the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines with a rapid-fire rundown of what has been a busy and eventful day here on this Friday, which sure feels like a Monday, January 2nd, 2026. And I will remind you, the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. And we will continue to remind you of this until we crown a new champion here in about 6 months. We've made about halfway through reminding you on a daily basis just how messed up the state of Minnesota is with its high school sports programs. So we will continue that tradition here in the new year. All right, let's get to it here. We start with the almanac for today, January 2nd. Average high for this day is 19. Average low is 2. Record high 46 back in 1964. Record low minus 33 in 2010. Sunrise this morning was at 8:12 and the sun will set at 4:50. We will gain exactly 1 minute of daylight today. Well, 59 seconds, but close enough. And by the time we get to the end of the month, let me point you to this here. We will be gaining 2 minutes and 44 seconds of daylight every day. The sun will rise at 7:52 instead of the 8:12 that we're at right now. And instead of the sun setting at 4:50, we will be setting the sun at 5:28. So all going in the right direction here as we make our way through January. In the markets today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 319 points to close at 48,382. S&P 500 was up 12.97 points to finish at 6,858. The NASDAQ was down 6 at 23,235 on the first trading day of the year. WTI crude oil today unchanged at $57.35 a barrel. Gold today up 80 cents at $4,341. Silver up $1.66 to finish at $72.26. Bitcoin today finished up about $2,000 at $90,108. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $2.83. That's down 1 cent from Friday or from Wednesday. North Dakota average price $2.55. Minnesota $2.64. South Dakota $2.56. All right. I'll tell you as well. Diesel fuel today at $3.55. In the news today, Fargo Mayor Tim Mahoney has recommended that three more commissions be eliminated from Fargo city business: the Native American Commission, the Arts and Culture Commission, and the Human Rights Commission. This according to a mayor's memo that was published with the city commission agenda for today's meeting. The proposal is to eliminate the volunteer boards, and this comes at a time when the city is reviewing which committees and commissions are viable and effective. There is a whole lot of conversation in the city of Fargo about reducing expenses, which is a good thing, but there's also a whole lot of blowback from people wondering if the city is stepping back on its commitment to the different niches in the community that have been put forward here with these different commissions. So that will be on the discussion agenda for tonight. In Wolverton, Minnesota, WDAY Radio says a man is dead after reports were heard of shots fired in Wilkin County. They were called to a rural area near Wolverton. The caller to 911 stated that someone had been shot. A man was found with an apparent gunshot wound at the scene, and he was pronounced dead. Authorities arrested the suspect, took him to jail where he's being held pending formal charges. No identity yet of either person involved. Valley News Live reports the Fargo police were dispatched to an apartment complex on New Year's Eve on 21st Street South just before 1 o'clock in the afternoon after a resident reported a neighbor had entered her unit without permission and assaulted her. While officers were en route, a second caller said the same suspect had done the same thing to their unit, and a number of other residents reported the same thing. Officers ended up responding to find a man named Larry George was in a state of not being of sound mind, and they decided that he entered three separate apartments and assaulted three different people. He's been arrested on three counts of felony burglary and causing serious injury. So apparently he was assaulting people and taking their stuff. So I guess he decided to get his money's worth. North Dakota Attorney General Drew Wrigley has released North Dakota's 2024 crime stats. WDAY Radio says that 45,964 Group A offenses were reported by local law enforcement agencies, and that is an increase from the year before. More than 30,000 people were arrested last year as well, a majority of them being adults. Wrigley said violent crime remains at a very high level. He said 19 murders in 2024, along with seven cases of negligent manslaughter. So these are the 2024 crime stats. So this is not the year that just finished up. For whatever reason, it took them a year to put together the 2024 crime stats. But now they are out. Wrigley says the high rates are, quote, a new normal. The Forum reports today that North Dakota's Health and Human Services Division reports that adoptions across the state of North Dakota increased by nearly 34% from 2024 to 2025. This after an adoption redesign initiative was undertaken in early 2024 to streamline the paperwork and shorten training for people who are interested in being adopters, and that has cut the average assessment time by 23 days. Greater progress occurred among North Dakota Native tribes, where adoptions of children in tribal custody have risen more than 53% in the last year. Republican Minnesota Governor candidate Kendall Qualls says he's planning to ask the Department of Justice to look into voter fraud within the state government. You know, there's been a lot of conversation about some of the money fraud with a million different things, right, with child care and autism centers. Oh, Kendall Qualls has made a formal request of the Department of Justice to look into state voter fraud as well, specifically in the Somali community. He says the fraud in financial mismanagement has absolutely extended to voting in the state as well. He said, now we just need to get the evidence of that as well. Our newsroom has reached out to Secretary of State Steve Simon for a reaction to Qualls' comments. You can't say that Kendall Qualls is a racist that hates those Somalis because he is a black man himself. WDAY Radio reports that farmers are now learning how much they can expect to receive from the $12 billion farm aid package that President Trump announced earlier this month. Soybean farmers will get $30.88 an acre, while corn farmers will get $44.36 per acre. Farmers who raise sorghum in their fields will get $48.11 per acre because China stopped buying sorghum as well. The amounts are based on a USDA formula on the cost of production. But please understand, I'm not telling anybody to feel sorry for the farmers, okay? Stop texting me about the feeling sorry for the farmers. I'm just reporting what is coming my way because I think somebody might. If you missed it, on Wednesday, we had an interview with a farmer, and someone said, Steve, stop feeling sorry for the farmers. They're doing just fine. So we want to make sure that we're not feeling sorry for anyone. We're just reporting the news here today. Also today, Assistant U.S. Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon has made a formal request for Secretary Steve Simon, a Minnesota Secretary of State, demanding records pertaining to Minnesota's vouching system for voter registration. Dhillon says that the system seems inconsistent with the Help America Vote Act of 2002. If you're not familiar with how this works, the state of Minnesota's voter registration laws allow for one registered voter to be able to vouch for up to eight other people who do not have ID. And so the Attorney General's office says, that's probably worth taking a look at. CNBC reports today that China's BYD, electric vehicle maker, has overtaken Tesla as the world's top electric vehicle seller. BYD said today that sales of its battery-powered cars rose to nearly 2.26 million units in 2025, and that's a 28% increase from a year ago. Tesla had 1.64 million vehicles delivered in 2025. That was a drop of 8% for Tesla. And finally, a couple of football notes here for you. If you're a fan of the Gopher football team, probably the most decorated player on the team looks like is going to be leaving. Coy Parrish, the star safety from Esko, Little Esko, Minnesota, was a four-star recruit. But he says he's going to enter his name into the transfer portal and look into other college options. He says he's not ruling out a return to Minnesota. Some have speculated it's a money grab. He would likely be a player who would get close to $1 million a year, if not more, at another program in the country. Ohio State had made a big play for him before he signed with Minnesota. So we will see. So he has given Minnesota 2 years now considering going somewhere else. And finally, J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings' second-year oft-injured quarterback, will start the season finale against the Green Bay Packers. And that coming after he missed last week's game after suffering a hand injury. The Vikings will likely be going up against mostly backups when they play the Packers on Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. Yours truly would have loved for him to get a chance to play against a team that was participating fully, because we need to see what we have in this young cat and get all that figured out. So we'll see what happens, but it looks like he's going to play, and it will not be Max Brosmer on Sunday against the Packers in the season finale. Vikings have been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. The Packers have been assured a spot in the playoffs. They cannot really do much about their position, so it looks like they're going to rest a lot of guys. All right, 422, and that's a look at some of the stories that are making news here today on this Friday afternoon. When we come back, Oak Grove gets a new school president, but the former boss is staying around too. Looks like a double bonus in Grover Country. That's next. Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center has dedicated his career to transforming smiles and restoring confidence. One patient at a time. Sounds like a pretty good line of work to be in, doesn't it? When you meet Dr. Matt, you'll understand why he's so passionate about it. It's not just a job for him. He says it's a calling. Dr. Eaton helps everybody, young, seasoned, and everywhere in between at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center. Whether you need a single tooth or a full mouth restoration, he's here to help with skill, compassion, and experience. Whether you've been hiding your smile for years or you're ready for a fresh start, trust his skill, compassion, and experience. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today. That's DakotaDentalImplant.com. I also want to remind you that we're giving away an awesome prize here. And we're going to start the fun on Monday. Our Vegas giveaway, Valentine's Day in Vegas, presented by Alsager Meats. We're going to call out a name of someone who has registered. And if you haven't done this already, please do. Go to am1100theflag.com. Click on the button that says the Valentine's Day in Vegas giveaway, and you'll be able to sign up. All you got to do is put in your name and where you're from. And we're going to draw a name here. It's going to happen in the 8 o'clock hour, the 10 o'clock hour, and the 4 o'clock hour here on the flag. And we're going to do this for about 3 weeks or so. And that'll be culminating Monday, February 2nd at Kingpin's, where we'll do the big giveaway party, where you will be able to get in, get your chance to win. And there will be a couple last-minute qualifiers there, too, so a lot of fun will be going on Monday, February 2nd at Kingpin's. And if you win, you'll get two round-trip tickets to Las Vegas, plane tickets, not bus or train. We're nice that way. A hotel stay, two tickets to see the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on Valentine's Day, and $500 in spending money. How's that for a prize package? So make sure that you get on over to am1100theflag.com. For the ultimate Valentine's Day, it'd be a Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime, I would say. Most of us don't, you know, we do a little bit, but we don't get all that crazy about Valentine's Day. Well, this will be an exception to that, no doubt about that. All right, 429, I want to say congratulations to Bob Otterson, the president of Oak Grove Lutheran School. He is taking a new position there as the school has brought in a new school president. And he said that he thought about this last summer when he started talking with the leadership of the Board of Regents there. And they have been looking for a chief advancement officer position there. It's been vacant for about a year. And so he's going to take that job. Talk about a guy that knows everything there is to know about that great school over there. And so they're going to get a new president coming here. Later this month. I had the number right here. Yeah, January 19th. So a couple of weeks from now. And Cher Thompson will take the reins as interim president while the search for a new full-time president takes shape. Thompson is the immediate past chair of the Oak Grove Board of Regents there. Two really people with a huge resume, both Thompson and Otterson. So it looks like Oak Grove has keeping a good leader is maybe the best way to say it there. And it's hard to find good people in those positions, those advancement and executive positions. But it looks like they've got kind of a double whammy that looks like it'll be fantastic for Oak Grove. So all the best And Happy New Year to everybody over at Oak Grove. It's 4:30 on the Steve Alsham Show. Time for a check of news. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. 15 minutes or less, they make buying a car, truck, or SUV very easy. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. Pleased to be joined in studio by David Dietz. David is someone that we've had on the radio a number of times, although it's been a little while. So it's good to see your smiley face, my friend. How you been?
Hey, living the life I choose. Great to be back.
I love that saying. You've used that ever since I got to know you. But you use that intentionally. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, here's the deal. All of our time is limited on this beautiful earth. So you have to be intentional, right? Make every day count. Mm-hmm. Be intentional. Live the life you choose.
Yeah. How are things of preference?
Fun. Loving employee ownership. We've been a 100% ESOP for a few years now and enjoying that culture and everything that goes with it. Loving what we do, helping businesses with human resources, services, recruiting, staffing, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. We've got a very low unemployment rate here in North Dakota, a little under 3%. Pretty much everybody that wants a job has one. I assume that still makes it a little tricky for businesses to find people.
Yeah. You know, the market, the labor market, it has, of course, changed some since the COVID years, right? You have how many trillions of dollars of money printing and government stimulus, and that really caused artificialness to the labor market and other things in the economy, as we all recall. So, you know, I think we're back to normal. Things are okay. They're okay. Are there jobs out there? There are jobs out there. Are the jobs as plentiful as they had been for a few years? No, they're not. I think people that are looking for work nowadays find yourselves competing once again for jobs more than the level one maybe needed to a few years back. But, you know, there are still jobs out there. Companies overall are not hiring as at the pace they were, but there's still hiring happening.
Yeah. When I got out of college a couple of years ago, I remember looking for a long time to find a job. And it seemed like when you were applying for a job, you'd go to your interview and there's six other people waiting for an interview before or after you. And it was tough to get a job. And boy, getting a place to work coming out of college was a big deal. Mm-hmm. We're maybe not back there yet, but I have heard other people say the same thing, that it's not like it was for a while where every kid coming out of college had 10 job offers right away. Mm-hmm. And that college age, that entry-level position with some of the automation things we're seeing with artificial intelligence has reduced the need for a lot of entry-level research kind of people. And so I imagine that's played a little bit of a part in this whole thing, especially with our young people.
It has. You know, it's complex. I think there's a multitude of things going on. You know, you hear different reports in the national news. You know, GDP is still growing, and I'm not the expert at that, but the economy is okay. But it seems like our the U.S. economy is pushing forward without needing to create as many jobs as we maybe needed to before, and so you have a lower labor churn, we call it. And in our industry, labor churn, what that means is the number of people that are quitting their jobs or, you know, for one reason or another, losing their jobs. You don't see that as much anymore. So even if things are okay, businesses are relatively busy or, you know, they have work to do, but that doesn't mean they're creating as many jobs as they are.
What industries is there a high need for people right now? Where do you find that? If you're someone skilled in certain areas, it's no problem to get a job.
You know, Steve, whenever I'm asked that, I always just go back to the trades. I go back to some jobs that do not necessarily require a four-year college degree, but are good jobs. And so going back to electricians, plumbers, HVAC technicians, framers, roofers, things like that, you know, there's still a demand in those areas. Now, one could argue those trades are might be some pockets of softness compared to what we were used to for a few years, but there's still, generally speaking, a demand for talent in those areas.
Where is it the opposite right now? Where do you see the crunch kind of going the other direction?
You know, some of the entry-level manufacturing labor has softened some. I'm not saying there isn't any demand, but it's not like it used to be because some of those employers have less employee turnover than they used to. And if employees if fewer employees are just quitting their jobs, that creates less need for hiring. Their revenue might be down, things like that. And then, of course, like you said earlier, automation.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking those jobs where you can research things. I think back to when I, again, got out of college. Boy, if you get a job like as a legal researcher for Westlaw or something like that, that would be a big law firm. You know, they needed people to go through all the archives of, you know, legal findings and verdicts and all that. And now all that's just at the touch of a button. So it's been one area I know where things have changed a lot. What are there industries out there where the wages are actually going down a little because you don't have to pay as much as maybe you did 2-3 years ago for people, and you're seeing some of those actual first job offers being a little lower than maybe they were, or has that not quite happened yet?
You know, I have not heard any concrete stories from my team at Preference stating wages have gone down. I've not heard that. I think maybe what some in our local region are struggling with, like nationwide, is that wage inflation has not been keeping up with some of the price inflation that we've all felt the pain with the last few years, right? And so that's, I think that's a real deal. Wages are going up in generally, but just not at the pace as they were and not at the pace as price inflation.
Yeah, the economists tell us that nationally, people are growing their wages faster than things are increasing in price. So there's some wage power there apparently, but you know, that's a big picture across 50 states, may not necessarily be the same here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing a little bit of that. At least that's what they tell us anyhow, happening there. Tell me about the kinds of flexibilities that people are asking for these days. It used to be that, you know, like we said back in the old days, you took whatever job and whatever kind of benefits they gave you. And then it swung during the COVID days and right after to positions where you could kind of come in with a list of, hey, I'd like to do this. If we can, you'd be able to get a chance to do that. The childcare thing seems to be that whole crunch seems to still be there. Are we seeing businesses doing different things in those ways of flexibility with schedules like they were doing a couple, 3 years ago, or has any of that changed?
I don't hear as much talk about that as it was such a popular thing to focus on a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, respond to your question in this manner. We at Preference see some employers that really, like, they really try hard to be flexible with their employees. You know, they truly make a genuine effort to let people, you know, leave early on a summer afternoon to go see their son's baseball game, leave town for kids' hockey, take care of a parent, whatever it is. So some employers are very, you know, they recognize that a lot. Some don't as much.
Mm.
Let's look at some realities. You know, some positions in certain industries, it's easier to offer that flexibility than others too.
Right.
So there's that side of it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, there's so much. It's hard to say, well, here's the truth for every job in every industry because it's so different. Along those lines, I know that, like you said, if you're a diesel mechanic or a welder, a plumber, electrician, it's not hard to find work. But on the whole, if you're not in the kind of specialized areas of the trades or medical or whatever, if you're a liberal arts graduate, you're coming out of school, either you did in May or you're at Christmas time, semester's done, you're done. What is there an average time that now it's taking to be able to find a job? Is it, should you plan on, you know, 6 or a couple months, 3 months? Is there sort of a time to a waiting time to be able to find that right job?
Really good question. Difficult to measure. I would say based upon the input I hear from my team at Preference, the waiting time is longer than it used to be. Like you're referencing a few moments ago during COVID when there's all that money stimulus circulating in the economy. Good gosh, there'd be, 5 jobs for every 1 worker looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure we're going to see those times in our lifetime again. Maybe we will. I don't know. But, I would say if someone is looking for work, no matter what position that is, set realistic expectations, you know. Build up an emergency fund before you quit a job, or maybe look for a job before you quit a job.
Yep.
You know, and just have realistic expectations. Or related to that, if there's a certain career path that you're really, like, you're really dialed in on it, like, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. So if you have that clarity, great, go for it. You might just need to find a different kind of job temporarily in the meantime to keep that the cash come in and pay bills.
Yeah. What other trends are you seeing out there or storylines in our area that maybe I haven't asked you about so far? Maybe it's a compensation, a benefits thing, how businesses are feeling about the future, and are they hiring? What other kind of trends are you seeing out there right now?
I don't know if I have any real smart trends, but my message to anyone looking for work out there is to reiterate, it may be a little tougher than it was a few years ago, but there are still jobs. There are still businesses here in the local Fargo-Moorhead region that are hiring.
Yeah.
So don't give up. And
just keep at it. It just takes a while sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's back to also like you're referencing when you were out of college, it was a couple of years ago. You may have to compete for that job more than in recent years.
Yeah. Do you find that one of my theories, and I hear this from talking to other small business owners, that when interest rates start going down, they get more confident because maybe you've got some notes that are resetting and now those interest rates aren't as bad as what they might have looked like a year ago. Or maybe if you have to take out new financing or you want to expand or do something, it doesn't cost you as much to do that. And because of that, when business owners feel emboldened about the future, they might be doing things that will require them to get more people coming in. I'm just curious what you see there. Do you hear a lot of talk about in the business community right now where what the confidence level is and if a declining interest rate environment really makes a difference to them? Do you hear much about that?
I do a little bit. I do feel, in based upon what some of my our clients tell me, and just I guess being in business for a couple days, is that interest rates do affect hiring. I think so anyway. Just for reasons you said, you know, it comes down to capital investments, machinery, technology, whether that's AI or an automated something in the back of the warehouse, whatever business has going on. When businesses feel more bold and confident about making capital investments, usually hiring people comes along with
it. So along those lines, it feels to me like we might be setting up for a pretty good 2026 that way, because interest rates are 1% lower than they were a year ago at this time. And I just saw one of the chief guys at Moody's said, we think we'll have 3 more cuts in the first half of 2026 because the jobs market is a little weaker right now. Unemployment's up a little bit, and that's going to sort of fight the inflationary forces out there. So I don't know. I get a sense that business people are pretty confident about 2026. How about you?
We are, especially, say, the second half of the year coming
up. Okay, second half.
Yeah, that's just my personal take on it. Things are okay right now. I don't think they're bad. I don't think they're great, but they're okay. You know, they're a bit, like I said, businesses overall, we see businesses, our client base at Preference, these customers, they have work to do. For the most part, they do. Some are not hiring at the pace they used to be, but some are still hiring. There's some activity going out there. And if a business isn't hiring as much right now, if you're on that side of the table, you're the business owner, the business manager. Well, you know, now is the time to, well, maybe upgrade. You know, you might find a little bit of a looser talent pool, than you did 3 years ago. So, I do see a few of my clients, you know, play to that game too.
It a couple things that I've also heard, some of it. It feels like people aren't necessarily laying off people, but there are still companies that are saying when someone leaves, we're not going to fill that spot. So we're seeing a little bit of that. And then the other trend I hear is more people saying, I'm going to try to hire a couple of 30-hour-a-week people instead of maybe hiring a couple of 40-hour-a-week people and get away from paying the benefits. Is that something that you hear a lot of?
Not explicitly, but I can't believe it isn't happening some. I have heard a lot in recent months after just coming off health insurance open enrollment season, that October through December timeframe, it happens every year, and it really happened this year where I heard many business owners and managers in the Fargo-Moorhead area say, oh my gosh, we just got word from our health insurance broker and it's not good. Yeah. You know, yeah. And you know, they go, well, how does our business pay for that extra cost? And you know, those conversations are nothing new, but it hit hard again this last year.
Yeah, well, no question that people are trying to figure out how to do more with less. And mm-hmm. in this area where so much of our economy is driven by what happens in the countryside, it's been hard for the farmers. And so for many farmers anyway. Mm-hmm. And so that does move into town a little bit every once in a while. Commodity prices are just so low right now. So there's definitely a mixed picture there as well. Before we let you go, give us a little plug for what you're doing at Preference and how people can use your company to further their careers or further their businesses.
Oh, well, yeah, Preference Employment Solutions. You know, we're the local ones doing what we do here. We've been in Fargo-Moorhead for 38 years, 100% employee-owned now, having a lot of fun helping small and medium-sized businesses with a whole variety of human resources services. Mm-hmm. And our other core business, of course, is the recruiting and staffing, helping businesses vet talent really well to make an impact on the people they do hire. And, of course, on the flip side of that table is all the people we love to help plug into jobs they love.
Yeah, so give them a call if you're looking for a position. They've been doing it for a long time and doing it well. Preference Employment Solutions, you can find them online at preferenceemploymentsolutions.com. David, thank you for being here. Great to visit with you again today. Happy New Year.
Well, great to see you again, Steve. And keep up the great work you and your team do over here.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And it's fun work, no doubt about that. And certainly no 2 days are alike and no day is not interesting. So just wait a little while and things will pick up if it's a slow news day. So thanks very much. David Dietz, President and CEO of Preference Employment Solutions. When we come back, the Fargo City Commission gets called out for not standing with the city's Somali population. Are they really cowards, as one city leader suggests? We'll talk about that next. Well, we told you earlier in the program that tonight at Fargo City Commission meeting, they're going to be deciding whether to axe the Native American, Arts and Culture, and Human Rights Commissions, three different commissions. Well, as we know already, the Human Rights Commission has been sort of in the news from just different conversations along the way where people want the city commission to take a stand on a certain issue, Israel and Gaza for one of them. Well, the Human Rights Commission chair last week called city leaders, the mayor and city commissioners, cowards for not issuing an official statement in support of the local Somali community. They held a press conference last week. And members of that city board, which is put together to promote respect for diversity of different people and different groups in the community, they got together and wanted to make a statement. They said, quote, "We see you and we hear you," to Somali residents of the Fargo area. "You are contributing members of our community and our society, and we support you." He criticized chairman, Siku Sirleaf, criticized local mayors for not attending the press conference. He said, "We need leaders in Fargo. We don't need cowards." The Human Rights Commission issued a statement supporting the Somali community, but the city commission has not necessarily done that. So the question I guess I have here is, how many different instances must we come out and say we support somebody if you're a Fargo City Commission and you're talking about what... They're obviously, they don't like Donald Trump and what he has said about people of Somali descent. So, again, we get into this business of thinking the city commission should make a statement about every people group and every niche of society. And the city commission is there to run the business of the city, not pat certain people on the back. That's not what they're there to do. Second hour of the program coming up next. Hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show on a Friday afternoon. I got to keep telling myself it's Friday because it sure feels like a Monday. Even though we worked on New Year's Eve, it just felt like it was kind of a holiday anyway. And then yesterday we were off and came back to work today. I could get used to that. A lot of people got July or January. July, January, New Year. What am I talking about? New Year's Eve. Not sure why that was hard to say. A lot of people got New Year's Eve off. And then also got New Year's Day, came back to work today or took the day off in this 2-day weekend. That's the way you use your PTO days, Addison. I think we did it all wrong, to be honest with you.
We might have.
We may have, yeah. We've often been accused of the best looking guys in the place, but not always the smartest. So
I can take them.
That's our story, and we're sticking to that anyway. So we've got the top five and five here to do for you today. And I'm not going to say I'm going to shed a tear, but it's the final edition of the top five and five because as of Monday, we're going to do the show at 9 a.m. And it will be the 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. hour. And I still haven't exactly figured out what we'll do in the 10 o'clock hour because it's tough to do a top 10 at 10. That's a lot of stuff to get in. But we'll figure it out between now and Monday. So here's what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We call it the top five at five. Story number one, the city of Fargo continues to cut. I don't know if pork is the right word, but amenities, nice to have things. City of Fargo is kind of moving back toward a minimalist sort of branch of city government, and this is a good thing, in the opinion of yours truly. Fargo Mayor Tim Mahoney is put on the city commission agenda for tonight. Meeting just started in downtown Fargo. The motion to eliminate three more commissions within the city government. They are the Native American Commission, the Arts and Culture Commission, and the Human Rights Commissions. This is going to a mayor's memo that was published with the city commission agenda for today. The proposal to eliminate these boards comes as the city is taking a look at what things actually do something and which things make financial sense. And there has been a fair amount of steam coming from downtown Fargo that not only do these boards and commissions cost something to run, it's not massive, but it's something. And these days they're looking to save a penny wherever they can. It's not only that they do cost money, but they just haven't been very effective in really accomplishing much. A lot of getting together and talking about things, bringing up issues, talking about the way things are, but they haven't really produced a lot of results. And when you have zero results and it costs you something, that's not, you're not long for this world as a board or a commission. Again, my stance on this is I believe what the conservative playbook would echo, and that is that the government should only do things for people that they cannot do for themselves. Because if your government is in the business of making someone's life better, then there's no end to the money that can be thrown behind that, and the slippery slope is off and running. And not that we don't care about our Native Americans, our arts and our culture, or our human rights. I think all those are very important, but that's what the city commission does. And it, again, a lot of these things came out of COVID and George Floyd. And we've kind of had this period in our country where we've sort of just let things get goofy for a while. We spent an awful lot of money because governments were just printing money, specifically the federal government. And that is changing. So those three commissions on the chopping block tonight, my guess is with Pepcorn and Turnberg on the commission, that the vote will go through to nix those commissions. We'll see if it's unanimous, 4-1, or 3-2. Drew Wrigley has released his office's 2024 crime report. Yes, 2024. It's I guess it took him a year to put together. By the way, he said, I'm sorry about that. We were not as tidy about getting that out as we should have, and we're going to get this done by July 1st next year. But anyway, it's a 2024 crime report. I'm reading from the Forum article where they chronicle a number of different pieces of this, and I'll read you a couple of high points here on this one. The state's violent crime rate decreased 8.6% year over year. There has been a 30% escalation over the last decade, though, of violent crime. So over the last decade, up 30%, but better last year, down 9% year over year. When you hear major metropolitan cities that come under fire for crime, but they have problems and they are problems of their own making, I don't generally tend to trust the numbers that I hear. In the state of North Dakota, I'm going to trust the number is accurate. I just don't think there's anybody that has a reason politically or a financial reason to gain from manipulating the numbers. So I'm going to go with it. A couple other notes within the report as well. There were some categories of violent crime that saw significant year-over-year decreases. Murders down nearly 21%. from 2023 to 2024. If you're interested in the specific numbers, there were 24 murders in the state in 2023, 19 last year. I think a bunch of them were in Fargo, to be honest with you. Aggravated assault stalking crimes decreased about 10%. There were some alarming year-over-year increases. Statutory rape, which is a rape of a minor, increased 75%. We went from 39 cases to 68 in 2024. And Wrigley said one of the most perplexing statistical increases seen in 2024 was that of DUI arrests, which surged nearly 7% last year, went from about 4,300 to 4,600. Wrigley says the danger of that crime is so well known and so widespread, danger to the occupants of the vehicle, people in other vehicles, broader communities, plus all the Uber and Lyft options available in the bigger towns. And here we are, three straight years going up to historical highs for the state of North Dakota. So that's story number two. Story number three, this one comes from North Dakota State Health and Human Services Department. And I think this is a good thing. And I gave it some thought before I came to that conclusion. But the Health and Human Services Department says public agency adoptions increased nearly 34% from 2 years ago to last year, so 2024 to 2025. They streamlined the process for paperwork and shortened the training for people who wanted to be adopters, and that cut the average assessment time by 23 days, and it led to more babies being adopted. Greater progress happened on the within the North Dakota Native tribes, where adoptions of children in tribal custody have risen more than 53% in the last year. So more babies who need a home are finding it. That's a good thing. And I thought, okay, if we're being reckless about this and just handing out babies to anybody who wants one, that's not a good thing either. But they still are maintaining all their standards. They're just cutting some of their times and reducing the amount of paperwork needed. They're saying nothing that would be, you know, paperwork we absolutely need to have, but a reduction in the, the red tape, I guess. And that makes sense to me. Also in the news today, story number four, our Republican Minnesota governor candidate Kendall Qualls is in the news. Now, of course, people who are running for office will want to be in the news, and so I'm a little judicious about when to put it in the news because sometimes it's not really all that newsworthy. This one I think is for a reason that most people probably wouldn't pick up on. But Kendall Qualls, who's running for governor, wants to be the Republican nominee. He's got about six or seven other people to beat for that before he can take on Tim Walz. But as part of that process, he's planning to ask the Department of Justice to look into not the fraud within state government finances, which we've been talking about a lot, but he says, I'm going to ask them to look into accusations of voter fraud, specifically in the Somali community. The reason I think this transcends your normal news cycle is that Qualls, being an African-American himself, is going specifically after the Somali community. And that, my friends, takes some courage to do that. He says the fraud that we're seeing is just a sign of things to come. And he said, I am very confident that if you look, you will find voter fraud as well as all this financial fraud. He says, we just need a little help from the federal administration to get it done. So that's why he's asking the DOJ to look into that as well. Now, I don't know if this was all coordinated. Probably not. I don't know that Kendall Qualls has got the ear of everybody in the administration, but Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon announced today that the AG's office has sent Secretary Steve Simon in Minnesota a letter demanding records pertaining to Minnesota's vouching system for voter registration. And Dhillon put on a social media post about this today. The system seems facially inconsistent with the Help America Vote Act of 2002. Further, she said, pursuant to my authority under the Civil Rights Act of 1960, I have asked for records pertaining to Minnesota's vouching system. It has been on Minnesota's laws for several years now that one person can vouch for as many as eight people. Now, you are supposed to be able to know the people and say, yeah, this is who they are, where they're from. But with all the questions we all have about voting and all the questions we have about Minneapolis-St. Paul, I think it's very fair to ask some questions as well. How did this all happen? Was one person vouching for eight people or 800? There have been reports out there of whistleblowers that say somebody was vouching for everybody in a nursing home or assisted care facility. Were the same people going around, the same eight people being carted in other places around, going from one precinct to the other? I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of work to bring eight people to multiple polling places. But I think any of that's possible. And I don't know how you'd ever prove any of that, but there is a lot more investigating going on right now in advance of Minnesota's governor's race in 2026. So that's story number four. And finally, farmers are now getting specifics on how much they can expect to get from the $12 billion aid package that President Trump announced earlier this month. Soybean farmers will get $30.88 an acre. Corn farmers will get $44.36 an acre. And another crop hit hard when China stopped buying was sorghum, and those farmers will get $48.11 per acre. The amounts are based on a USDA formula on the cost of production. It certainly won't make people whole for lower crop prices, but I guess it is something. If you were in the farming community, I would be curious to know, does this amount of money, what does it mean? Is it almost insignificant? Doesn't mean anything at all? Does it mean a ton to you? Is it, most guys aren't going to want the subsidies. They would just rather have better markets for their crops. We understand that. But curious, if you're in the farm community and you want to weigh in on that, would love to hear from you. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories going on in our news cycle today. It is 5:20 here on this Friday edition of the Steve Holstrom Show. When we come back, the Star Tribune checked out those daycare sites that Nick Shirley reported on. They were not exactly able to find what they were looking for, specifically kids in the daycare center. We'll talk about that next. Live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. That's the website for Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less, that's all it takes for you to buy a new car, truck, or SUV. And if you're looking for a new job in the new year, well, check out what they can do for you on the employment side as well. Vision Ford Lincoln has great jobs if you're in sales or service. The service techs there make more than anywhere in the five-state area. No weekends, full benefits. How's that sound? And if you have that gift of sales and you like helping people find solutions to problems, man, you can make a lot of money just helping people that you know get into a new car, truck, or SUV. Go to drivewithvision.com, drivewithvision.com. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. We'd love to hear from you today on the you can do it a number of different ways. You can call us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, 701-271-1100. You can email us, studio@flagfamily.com. Or you can text us as well. So if you are somebody who is working at one of these daycare centers in Minneapolis, and Nick Shirley came by with his video crew and basically outed the complete fraud job that the whole thing is, don't you think that you would find a way to start getting some kids in there, make it look like you actually have a business there now that the heat is on? Well, we all kind of chuckled when we saw that, a couple days after that, the place, the Quality Learning Center, all of a sudden magically had kids playing outside. Well, the Star Tribune went to all 10 child care centers from the Nick Shirley video, because you can see where this is going, right? They want to go there, and here it is a few days later, hoping that people are stupid, and showing them, oh, look, I don't know what that guy was looking at, but he didn't go inside. But sure enough, inside there's all these kids, and they're, playing games and eating goldfish and learning to count to 10 and whatever it is. So Star Tribune goes, days after this, basically now these people know that people are onto them and there's increased skepticism. And how many of those daycare centers do you suppose actually had any kids in them? The answer is 4. This coming after days of notice that people were starting to catch on to the scheme going here. And it says right in the Star Tribune report, the Minnesota Star Tribune visited all 10 facilities and found children inside 4 of them when invited inside. 6 other facilities were closed or employees did not open their doors. So what does this tell you here? Look, 4 of the 10 found a few kids. The other 6 were basically ghost operations anyway. And so I'm sure the Star Tribune was hoping to have a different story. But to their credit, they reported the truth on this. And there was not a whole lot that they found that could disprove it. So there's a lot of talk right now. There, you'll find some social media posts. Oh, here's the real place. And the guy said there's kids in there. Look at all these kids. So this whole thing's been debunked. Yeah, I don't think that's exactly what happened right there. So thought I'd pass that along to you. Star Tribune finally went to some of these places to see what's going on there. Interesting. Here's another interesting story. ABC News reports the United States is poised to end 2025 with the largest one-year drop in homicides ever recorded. Ever recorded. About a 20% decrease in homicides nationwide. The gentleman quoted in the story, Jeff Asher, a national crime analyst, told ABC News, let's take a conservative view. Let's say it's only 16 or 17%. That's still the largest one-year drop ever recorded. Ever recorded. Experts say crime levels appear to be, quote, back to normal after the pandemic. Boy, I don't know about you, but I kind of thought once the pandemic happened and things got goofy and everybody lost their mind and people got addicted and violent and whatever else, that it was just going to be really tough from here on in. Well, how about this? The number of homicides nationwide is expected to be the lowest since the FBI began keeping such records in 1960. Wow. I just have to wonder, we've had what? 1.5 million people self-deport? Another 500,000 to 700,000 deported, apparently, in the first year under President Trump? Maybe I'm exaggerating that, but it's not 2 or 3. But don't you have to wonder if some of that is why we've had less homicides? Because who knows who was here, right? I don't know. Have we gotten that much kinder and gentler with 12 months having gone by? I don't know. Maybe it's more of a respect for law and order. I just don't have a great theory on this, other than we have 2 million less people in the country. I don't know. Is that connected somehow? I don't know, but it makes me wonder. What's your theory on this? If you got one, I'd love to hear what you think about that. All I know is President Trump is in office, and inflation is slowing, gas prices are going down, and murders are going to drop the biggest amount, one-year drop in history. Whether you like Donald Trump as a person or not doesn't really matter. At some point, you got to start looking at all this. Third quarter GDP, 4.3%. At some point, you got to say, you know what? Doesn't matter if I like him or not. Guy's doing a heck of a job. When the football team wins games, the coach gets the credit. Donald Trump is the coach of the United States of America right now. 5:32, Steve Alstrom Show. Check in news is next. And then after that, we're going to visit with a gentleman who's got a book coming out, which might give us a little bit of a look into what we can really expect to happen in New York City with Zoran Mamdani, the new mayor. That's next on the Steve Alstrom Show. New York City has got a new mayor, Zoran Mamdani, after being elected recently. He was sworn in at midnight at City Hall in New York City and promised that he would govern as a Democrat socialist because he ran as a Democrat socialist. So at least he is standing by what he campaigned on. Two other big takeaways from his comments at the swearing-in ceremony. He said, beginning today, we will govern expansively and audaciously. Oh, boy, if that doesn't sound like government is going to get really big and really ugly in New York City, I don't know what else you might need. The other quote that honestly made me sit up in my chair a little bit further, quote, we will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. The old rugged individualism, that's kind of what the settlers, right, the pilgrims, trying to take things into their own hands and make it happen. We're going to replace all of that, kind of doing it on your own and the American spirit, never say die, with the warmth of collectivism. Oh, doesn't that sound nice? Well, our next guest is someone that studied this quite a bit and is writing a new book, actually, about what has happened out in Portland, where many of these same kind of policies have gone into play. And we're very thankful to have with us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, Dennis Neal, former CNBC and Fox Business anchor and author of the new book, Oregoners. Good enough to be with us. Dennis, thank you very much for taking the time. Nice to meet you.
Thanks so much, and good to meet you, Steve. We live in extraordinary times, and I've been in New York 43 years, okay, living in Brooklyn. And I keep feeling like this must be a computer simulation.
Yeah.
This must be a dream. I cannot believe we've done this. And sometimes voters, maybe they'll get what they deserve.
Yeah, it's been said that we get the government we deserve. And in this case, this is what people voted for. And it wasn't a squeaker. It was a resounding win for him. He was leading in the polls by a wide margin, and it certainly played out that way on Election Day. You've been studying what's been going on in Portland as you've been watching all of this happen. What strikes you about Mamdani and some of the things that he has said that would tell you that this guy is going to govern in a very extreme way that is going to be very difficult for the city of New York to actually handle once these policies are put into place?
The parallels between New York City and Portland are striking. You know, we just elected a socialist mayor here in New York. Well, last November, the voters in Portland said, hold my beer. Mm. They elected four avowed socialists to their 12-member city council. There's two other allies, so the six of them, they call themselves the Peacocks for Progressive Caucus. Peacocks for short. They certainly strut like that. Well, Portland's made many mistakes that Mamdani already is starting to make. The other day, Mamdani said, we're not going to sweep the homeless camps anymore. We're not going to rouse them up and make them move. You know, the great thing about homelessness in New York is it's invisible, all right? I mean, they are moved off the streets. In Portland, in part because of a Supreme Court ruling that originated in Oregon out of Grants Pass, the court ruled, hey, you can't rouse the homeless and remove them from the streets if you have nowhere to house them yourselves. So the county that Portland's in started handing out tents and tarps, and so they ended up all over the place. And then the city would come along and started sweeping up the things. Well, New York's now in danger of having homeless encampments allowed to just fester all over the place, right back to the days of Occupy Wall Street. It's a terrible, stupid decision. And then in another reflection, you know, Oregon just appointed this guy as an advisor on criminal justice or jails in Oregon, and he murdered a teenage girl some years ago and was sentenced to prison. And now they've appointed to this government post. It's absolutely awful. Well, Mamdani appointed a guy who was ripping off, robbing taxi drivers. He went to prison for it, got out, and he now is a justice advisor. You know, you do your time, you make good. Okay, yeah, you should have a second chance, but you shouldn't be a justice advisor if you did that. You should be able to get a job, an honest job. I just think it goes too far. So Mamdani is borrowing a page after page from Portland, and my God, Portland and Oregon are dying. They're in deep trouble caused by their own well-meaning, virtue-signaling liberal policies.
Yes, absolutely. You know, they talk about the rent freezes in New York City. I think there might be a lot of people who actually do freeze in their apartments in New York City, because this is not going to be a situation where, when you have rent control, it's going to, by definition almost, lead to people not caring as much about what they put into their properties, because they're not going to be able to adjust rents as they need to be able to pay the bills. So what do you think is going to happen in those buildings and all these facilities that now are coming under government rent control?
I'm a renter in New York, and my apartment landlord is he's a guy in his 80s. He has owned over 1,000 apartments in Brooklyn, literally, which means the guy has been worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He came here at age 6 with his family as a Greek immigrant, and he told me nobody could end up doing today what I was able to do because of all the terrible regulations, because of all the rent control. You know, capitalism and investing is optimism monetized. You invest because you think good things are happening. But you're not going to invest if you know government is down your throat. It's capping how much money you can earn. It's capping how much you can raise rents at all. It's capping whether you're allowed to build a building at all. This guy wants to build housing, but it takes 10 to 15 years to build some building from scratch with all of the clearances you need and all of the unions and all. I mean, that's not the way they're going to do it. This guy doesn't know developing from his elbow. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm moving out of New York, all right? I'm leaving. I've been here 43 years. I'm leaving January 15th. I'm moving down to tax-free, no personal income tax, South Florida. You know, it's going to be safer. It's going to be less cold. I'm not doing it because of Mom, Donnie. I'm doing it for Mom. My elderly mom needs more help taking care of her, and so it's time to make that sacrifice. And yet, I think I'm leaving at a good time, man, because there are things I will not miss. I cannot believe we elected this guy. You know, he said privately to a Muslim audience, he's on tape saying this, hey, we have 1 million Muslims in New York now. There's no reason why we shouldn't be in City Hall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look what he did. His first orders, his first day in office, two of the orders that were protective of Israel and protective of acting against anti-Semitism, he ends up just wiping them out. They were previous Eric Adams mayor orders. He wipes them out. Now, this is a Muslim who said anti-Israel, pro-Palestine, anti-Semitic things in the past that he hasn't fully retracted. You might think he could afford to step in softly and say, hey, to my Jewish friends, I want you to know there's nothing to worry about. The fact that I'm a Muslim and that I've said these things in the past is not going to affect us going forward. And instead, he said, up yours. Mm-hmm. And he deleted those two orders as his first act. That is an intentional, premeditated, thought-out message.
Yes, absolutely.
And it should be disturbing. And there's 2 million Jews in New York.
Mm. Amazing. Well, here are the entire civil rights movement of the last 100 years in our country has been about protecting people from bigotry and hatred and vilifying people just because of a religion or a skin color. And now they openly boast about their plans to do that. Do the people of New York City just not connect those dots, or are they so desperate to have another dollar
they
in their
really
pocket?
Don't because
that, yeah, go ahead.
The people of New York City are so in the pocket of just, you know, watching the mainstream media, and the mainstream media won't cover this. Why? Because we don't want to be accused of being Islamophobic, which is similar to why the media didn't cover this huge multi-billion-dollar ripoff in Minneapolis and elsewhere on Somali daycare centers and the like, because, oh my God, they'll say we're racist. It's the worst thing to be accused of racism. There's nothing racist about it. And we've just been cowed by that. And it's time to start pushing back against it. We've just allowed crazy people to take over and run the asylum. And I'm just consistently and always shocked by it lately. Mm. You know, Elon Musk has a saying. So I got this book I wrote, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk, okay? And he has a saying, the most likely outcome in life is the most entertaining or the most ironic, the opposite of what you expect to happen. Well, man, electing some foreign-born Muslim socialist to come into New York and run this incredible center of capitalism and creativity, that is definitely the most ironic outcome that I could have expected.
We're visiting with Dennis Neal, best-selling author and former CNBC and Fox Business anchor as well. So, Dennis, let's fast forward here 4 years to the end of Mamdani's term. If he is successful at doing what he's talking about, how will life look and feel in New York City that will seem different than the way it is today?
Now, if he's successful, so let's think what he wants to be successful at. He wants to be successful at affordability. Well, there's nothing a mayor, there's hardly anything even a president could do on affordability, all right? Okay, so he wants affordability. Well, that's your rent, and that's how much you have to pay for housing. Well, that's going to end up being crushed by what he's doing as rich people leave town. Okay, but he wants to work on affordability. All right, free bus service. Well, already half of the people on buses don't even pay. And it just means it's going to become a center for riffraff because the public transit, the light air freight that they're so proud of, light rail, I guess it's called, in Portland, Oregon, is just taken over by people smoking crack and homeless people kind of camping out on the in the cars and harassing people. I mean, it's just going to go down in quality. Okay, he wants to do that. Let's see. Oh, he wants to make food more affordable by opening up city-owned grocery stores in poor neighborhoods. Well, that's going to put out of business other bodegas owned by people of color, Latinos largely, or Koreans. It's going to put them out of business because they can't compete against government-subsidized food prices. All right, so that's not going to go well. It doesn't bode well for it. Now, if I work it right, though, property values will fall 20 to 30% in 5 years. My mom will go to heaven, and I can move back into New York and buy on the cheap.
There you go. And the housing will be affordable. It's going to be really interesting. I can say, as someone who lives a safe distance away from New York City, that I'm really interested to watch it. But I do love New York City. And I have said on this program many times, it's the greatest city in the world. And I am very partial to where I grew up, where I live right now. I love Minneapolis. But there is something very special about New York City. And it's been such a joy to see that city become a safer place, I guess, until the last few years, but how Mayor Giuliani kind of over time was able to turn that city into a place where you could walk through Times Square at night and feel fairly safe, and the wonderful blend of culture and food and commerce, yeah, and all those wonderful things. It's a treasure. It's a national treasure. And we need to protect it. And I'm just scared what New York City is going to look like 4 years from now.
Yeah, me too. And I love this city. I came here to start my career at the Wall Street Journal. They brought me up out of nowhere. I was literally, it was 1982. I was almost mugged at JFK when a guy offered me a cab ride and tried to steal my luggage and mug me. And so I was scared when I was first there. And I saw the city, just get so good under Giuliani and Bloomberg even after him. And lately, though, I walk around either at night or too early in the morning, and it's a little scarier again. You got to be vigilant. You got to be ready to fight or flight. In my case, more flight. I'm no tough guy. But, you know, two blocks from my home, a subway station I use all the time, the F train in Brooklyn, a guy 55 years old was beaten to death by a 24-year-old crazy over nothing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
At 4 in the afternoon, and, you know, I know. Gosh,
and on the subway, you've had more deaths being pushed on the tracks in the past 2 years. I think it's about 15 or so than the previous something like 10 or 15 years combined.
Yeah,
I mean, so things have definitely gotten worse. The homeless element, the illegal aliens, we went wild with that because we're a sanctuary city. Mm. I mean, there's real freedom, okay? But also there's the freedom to go straight to hell with your own stupid decisions.
Well, let's hope
a lot of it is just so moralizing and virtue signaling.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, let's hope that the rugged individualism that made this country great, it cannot be extinguished in 4 years, and there will be better days ahead. Before we let you go, Dennis, give a 30-second plug for your new book. How do we get it? Where is it going to be at? What can we expect?
Yeah, it'll be on Amazon. I'm still writing that sucker. I was literally writing all weekend and writing even tonight right before talking to you. So I'm happy to say, Steve. But it'll be ready when it's ready. You know, the publishing industry takes forever to get it out. And so I'm just going to have to do something to accelerate this, because this story is happening now. There's a huge uprising going on in Oregon. People are getting fed up, and they're standing up, and they're fighting back and making themselves heard. And there's a lesson there for the other blue cities that are really reeling right now from their own policies, right? I appreciate so much being able to talk to you about all this. Thanks for listening and for asking good questions.
Well, thanks for having us on. If it's okay, Dennis, I'd love to have you back. Maybe we'll wait till the end of the year after a full year, and we'll check in and see how Mom Donnie's doing. You can give us a little report card. Can we do that?
No. I got to come on much more frequently than that, my friend. I'm coming on at least once
good.
A quarter.
I love it. Well, you've been a ton of fun, and we appreciate your time. We wish you all the best with the book. Thanks so much, and Happy New Year.
You too. Thanks.
Take care. That's Dennis Neal, best-selling author and journalist. His new book is called The Oregoners. Check that out. Coming as soon as they can get it off the press. It's 5:53. Steve Hollis from show back after this. All right, a couple minutes left here before we close out this edition. And this chapter of the Steve Hollis from show, beginning on Monday, we'll be back. But 9 to 11 a.m. in our shuffle lineup, which I've heard the commercial with my voice on it way more times than... I mean, I'm sick of it. I can't imagine how sick you guys are of it. But we just want to make sure everybody's aware of the changes that are happening there. I'll just say this. It's been a ton of fun doing this show. Addison and I started this about 2.5 years ago. And every day I've started this show, I've been excited to tell you what I found out. And I'm going to do that in a little different way on Monday, because it will be more about what's going to be happening, previewing some of the big stories. And then as things are popping in the kind of early to mid-morning, it's a really fun time to be on the air, seeing things happening in real time. So looking forward to that. And it's going to be my opportunity as well to try to keep a finger on the pulse of our local business environment, our local economy as well, and be a voice that's much needed for business owners. And we'll be able to do that, I think, in a little different way when the coffee is still hot. As it was explained to me earlier in the process when we were making this choice. Dana, you get the final word on the show today. Got your best 30 seconds for us today. Dana, thanks for joining us on the show.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
I just wanted to say I really enjoyed meeting you there in Fargo. You seem like a really decent, honest person, and I appreciate that.
Well, I've got you fooled, but thanks for the kind words.
In 26, I hope the people of this nation stand up for their rights to be free in this country. You know, if you had an employee, and that's what our elected officials are, employees, they were taking your money and ripping you off to buy you out and put you to work for them. What would you do with that employee?
Yeah, that's right.
You're fired.
Yes, sir.
So, Mondami, I hope he gets done what he says he's going to do. But it looks to me like he's just starting another Minnesota Fraud Center in New York.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Dana, thank you very much for calling. You've been a great friend during the show. Hopefully you'll be able to catch us a little bit from 9 to 11 in the new time as well. Happy New Year, my friend. Thanks for giving a call. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Dana from Bismarck, join us here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. That'll do it for us, friends. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. And as always, keep on flying that flag.